Greetings, Cap fans, and welcome to episode 54 of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. I am your host, Rick Furbanis, and as always, I am joined by the best gosh darn co-host out there, Mr. Bob Lucius. Bob? Magadangabi.
Is that Tagalog? Rick, are you speaking Tagalog?
No, it's from the Philippines.
Okay. Well, Philippines. One of the languages of the Philippines is Tagalog.
It might be a dialect of that. I don't know.
I'm not sure. That could be. I think not necessarily Tagalog. Could be Filipino, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not everyone. It's Magadangabi.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and
do you know what that means?
Hello.
Well, it means good evening, because again, I like to keep it formal with you, Bob.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that level of respect among professionals.
Right.
Well, that's impressive. That was impressive. I assume I don't actually speak Filipino or Tagalog, but I do speak Malay and Indonesian, which is a close relative of Tagalog and Filipino. And your pronunciation was spot on. Very nice.
Well, thank you. I did practice.
I closed my eyes. It took me back to that part of the world. It's crazy.
Now if I wasn't going to be formal, I would say kumusta kayo.
Yeah.
Which is how are you?
Yeah.
And then I'd give you a hug.
Yeah. I like how you've interwoven the language and the culture. Very nice. Nicely done. You can't speak the language without the culture. So well done.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, listeners, this is just indicative of the sort of research that Rick puts in to this quality production. So, I hope you appreciate it, because I certainly do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So the reason I said that in that language was because today we're covering issue 4 of the United States of Captain America. And as each issue, it introduces a new captain from the Captain's Network. And the one that's being introduced in this issue, her name is Ariel Agbayani.
Nice.
And it is, she's a Filipino American.
Which is awesome. It's just awesome. I mean, I've seen, in some of the Filipino comic groups that I frequent, I haunt quietly from a distance. The level of excitement about this character has really been palpable. A lot of excitement.
Yeah, I think it goes back to, it's just, hey, having a character or characters that you can relate to, right?
Yeah.
And so when the creator of this character, who is Filipino, was asked about this, she was so excited. And that's one of the first things she said. You know, it's so rare to see a character like me, that I can relate to. And so it's, it's interesting, that the way Christopher Cantwell is weaving these characters into the story.
Yeah. I mean, the characters themselves are kind of the story in a way.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of the impetus of the villain's quest, right? To take out these captains. So like we've done in the other issues, what we'll do is we'll cover the first story, which is the main story written by Christopher Cantwell. And we'll leave the backup story for you to read on your own. When you get the chance to, to read this comic, pick up this comic, because the backup stories get a little bit more involved into that particular issue's captain. So we'll do that again as well. But before we get into the comic, so Bob, I think I at the last couple of episodes announced that we're going to do this giveaway, right? The Captain America, what would Cap do? Challenge coin,
right?
And so all we're doing is when we get 10 more 5-star reviews on Apple, we're gonna randomly pick three of those 10 and give them one of these coins. And so, you know, the reviews are starting to come in. Shall I read one?
Yeah, please. Yeah, I want to definitely hear one.
Okay. So this one comes from Thomas J. O'Donnell.
Okay.
It gives us 5 stars. And the subject line to this is "Love this show." And it's a very short and sweet review. He says, "I follow this show every week. Huge Cap fan."
Nice.
Yep. So thank you, Thomas.
Yeah.
You are a part of the contest. So we appreciate that. And if you want to also get in on this contest, just go to Apple, go to your iTunes and go in and give us a 5-star review for the Captain America Comic Book Fans podcast. And we will enter into the contest and probably read you on the show.
Yeah, I think this is a great idea for a contest, Rick. But I think maybe some folks don't get it, Rick. I mean, we're just two guys, right? I mean, we're not pros here. Well, you're a pro, but you know, I'm just, you know, we're just two guys who love Cap talking about Cap. And the more we hear from listeners about the things that they like, they don't like, the things they want to hear, right? Man, we want to know, right? Because we want to talk about those things because we're all fans. I mean, this grew out of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Facebook group, right? And that has some lively discussions. We want to have those sort of lively discussions here as well. So tell us what you think.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up because it did. It was funny. One of our patrons, one of our loyal listeners of the show, said after hearing this, he's, "I never knew the group was created before the podcast." And yes, true. Yeah, we the Facebook group grew that. I guess it was in April of 2020, and it just, you know, grew to a point where you know, here we are doing a podcast. So 50 some episodes into this, and then as far as some of the responses we got on the Facebook group, which again, we love those too. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving us feedback. I asked the question, what do you guys like? Should I do the tangents? Should I not do the tangents? And we got some good feedback. Grant Ball, again, one of our patrons, says, "In regards to the tangents, I'm in full support of them. If I just wanted to know what was in the issues, I'd read the issue. It's the commentary and side stories that make it worthwhile." Now, and here's another one from one of our patrons, Joshua Daniel Van Dyne, who was also a guest on our show. I think when we covered issue 2 of this series, he says, "I love your tangents, Rick. It allows for interesting breaks instead of the podcast being all about just reading the comic and being done with it. Plus, you and Bob have such camaraderie that I could just listen to you to talk all day, even if the topic wasn't about Captain America."
Oh, wait till you hear me, Joshua. Wait till you hear me talking about my air conditioning repairs. Maybe we'll include that because that's been a sore point this week. So
yeah. So
anyway, I digress.
You can't see it right now, but I'm looking at Bob, and he's rocking the guns right now, wearing his tank top.
Yeah.
Because his AC's on the fritz.
It's almost a quasi wife beater.
Not quite. Not quite. Yes, you're missing. It's not white, and you're missing the stain on the stomach.
Yeah, but if I don't get it fixed, there's going to be a husband beater in this house. So, yeah, we got to have more guests on. We got to have more of our, of our listeners.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah,
I've enjoyed that in the past, and I think that'd be a lot of fun to explore. So let's. Yeah, we got to think about that some more.
Yeah, we got to think of another way to bring them on. I mean, I enjoy that listener Q&A show too. That seems to have went over very well.
Yeah.
And speaking of wife and husband beaters, you accused my fiance of beating me.
I jumped to conclusions. What can I say?
So right now, by the way, if I start to stumble on any of my words during this podcast, it could be a delayed reaction of concussion. I'm not sure.
But traumatic brain injury. Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday, my fiance and I were taking our dog to the dog park. And right before we left, I wanted to help him burn off a little bit more steam. So I ran full speed. I mean, as fast as I could go, and it was coming down a slight decline. And I hit a hole, and I went face first.
Yeah. Face right before you did, did you go leap?
No, it was so, it happened so fast, Bob.
Yeah.
It happened so fast. I didn't know what was happening until after like the second or third bump.
Did you know? Did you see Steve Rogers' whole life flash before your eyes?
Oh, I know. I did see stars.
Did you?
I did see stars. Yeah. But it was just one big star on a shield, but still. So today I have this huge raspberry in the side of my head. My right eye socket is all swollen up, and I've got some other nice goodies on some other parts of my body from falling. So anyway, we're a pair, Bob.
We are.
That's why we're not on YouTube.
True. You know, just funny you mention that. I mean, I don't want to digress too much, but you know, I have to, I take my students at the university out on these field trips, right? And they have to do these field trip reports. And part of the field trip reports are photographs. They got to take pictures along the way. And I guide them. And I also have a naturalist that works at the university that I bring along that does sort of the flora and the fauna. And so I was grading a bunch of these field reports today and like looking at the pictures, and I'm like, who's that old guy with all the students? And then I realized it's me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, man.
I know. So, doesn't that suck?
It does.
I'm looking in the mirror and it's just like, what the heck happened? Like there's a, when we were recording this recently, it was National Daughter's Day, National Son's Day. Right.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I post on Facebook, picture of me and my daughter from when she was little.
Photos, yeah.
Picture with me and my son when he was little. And I'm looking, here's the before and after pictures. And I'm like, not only did I lose my hair, folks, but the last 10 years were not kind.
I thought it was, Rick, I saw those and I thought to myself, doesn't this violate one of the rules of the witness protection program to post in these photos?
I know, right? I mean, I did change my identity.
Right. Yeah. You went from mild mannered comic book store owner, and then you went into the protection program, and here you are now.
Yeah. Now I'm breaking dad.
Broken down dad. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Here you go. You know, like you're like, oh, I don't know. I mean, you think to yourself, well, you ever seen the movie City Slickers?
Of course. Yeah.
Right. And Billy Crystal, when he's having his midlife crisis, he said, do you ever stop and say, this is as good as it gets. It's all downhill from here. This is as good as good looking as I'm going to be, as young and viral as I'm going to be. I'm paraphrasing whatever, but that was the message. Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that, right. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm probably not as good looking as I was 2 years ago. All right. Then maybe not, but let's just say that, you know, whatever. Fair enough
for the argument. Yeah.
But about 2 years ago, I remember going in to get my license because my license was missing or something. Right. And the woman behind the counter pulls up my previous license. I don't remember exactly what she said, but she was like, oh man, life's been tough, huh? Like, screw you. Like, I didn't age that bad, but then again, like, you know, you look in the picture and you see an old man, right?
Oh my gosh. Every night when we do tuck in with my son and my wife, we go around and we say, what was the highlight of your day? And I'm sorry to say, Rick, that would have been the highlight of my day in that story. That was a great story. And you say, this is, you know, you look in the mirror and you say, this is as good as looking as I'm ever going to be from here on out. Right. But when I saw those pictures and those trip reports, I realized I wasn't even as good looking as I thought I was.
I know. Oh, our mind's eye. Oh, yeah, our mind's eye. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know how some people who you hear about people who lose a limb, Yeah. Right. And they have that phantom,
the phantom limb syndrome,
the phantom limb syndrome. Right. I have phantom hair syndrome.
Okay. Yeah.
I do. Sense. There are times where I feel like I have my full set of hair. Let me tell you, Bob, if you see pictures of me when I was younger, yeah. I had great guy hair.
Yeah, I've seen those pictures.
I had really good guy hair. I had other guys who would tell me who were bald. They were like, if I could have better eyesight or your hair, I would go with your hair. I mean, like, yeah, he's just telling me this. Like, who tells people that?
I
don't know. But my point is that I had good guy hair. And I do. Sometimes I have dreams. I have dreams where I have my hair again.
Yeah. I told Casey, I saw those pictures. I said, he looks, my God, he's a handsome guy. He looks like he's an extra on Hill Street Blues.
He was a handsome guy. Is that what you meant to say? Just being kind.
Oh, I've been kind.
But... Yeah. I told my daughter this summer, we were in the pool and I'm, you know, when you come out of the pool, you know, to this day, I think I've been bald 4 years, 5 years. It hasn't been that long. But when I come out of the, when I dive into the pool and the minute I come out of the water, I immediately go to push my hair back out of my face and it's not there.
You ever get like confused and you're like, what the hell?
It hits me real, real fast.
Yeah. Well, you wear it well, Rick. I gotta say.
Well, I appreciate that.
You know, I mean, I didn't know you previously, so I only know you now, but. You know, you're who I know. So everything else seems alien.
That's true. All right. Should we get to the comic, Bob?
Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
All right. So this is United States of Captain America number 4. And on the cover here is a, on the standard cover, because there's always variants, right? So we're going with the standard cover here. So the regular cover is done by an artist called Gerard Parel.
Oh yeah, the
Perel
cover, right?
Yeah, and it's Superior/Cynthia Schmidt/Sin in her costume that she's been wearing strictly for this miniseries. So she's got on a tight outfit with these red. I don't know what you would call them.
They look patches. They're armor, Rick.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, they are. You know, for sliding and fighting and things like that.
They're not all connected, so that way she has flexibility.
Yeah.
Right. And then, but her mask is basically a version of the American flag. So one side is blue with the white stars, and the other side is red and white stripes. And then she has her red ponytail coming out from the back. And in the background, we have Steve Rogers with his shield looking up at a U.S. agent with his shield, and they look like they're about to fight each other.
It's a cool cover, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a nice perspective, and I like that. I like that outfit on Superior.
Okay, all right, Bob. All right.
No, I don't mean you know, but it's a cool uniform, man.
Yeah, I do. I like it too. Yeah, and it almost has the way her form is standing, with the way her legs and her back arched a little bit, or it almost looks like a J. Scott Campbell figure, if you will. So the creators for this, continues being written by Christopher Cantwell. But this time we've had Dale Eaglesham had been the penciler / inker, for the first three issues. But we have, a guest penciler on this, Mr. Ron Lim.
I've heard of him. Yeah.
Have you now?
Yeah. He sounds familiar.
Yeah. Well, Ron, to longtime Captain America fans, you know, was no stranger, because he is, he did back in 1990 and 1991, he did a span of 19 comics from between issues 366 and 386. He did 19 issues. And then after that, he did an additional 7 covers. So he is a favorite among Cap fans.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people who really, really liked his art. And I was fortunate enough about a year or two ago, to get a Captain America commission from him. So he's still, you know, active and obviously still in the industry. But if you think about it, like, the last time that he did a Captain America comic was 30 years ago.
Wow. That's a long time ago. And I think he did the cover, I think, for the most recent annual, right? The Volume 9 annual that I think that just came. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, okay. So, I haven't either.
But I think he did the cover for that as well.
Cool. And then it's inked by 2 inkers. We have Cam Smith and Scott Hanna. Now, Cam Smith, I believe, he's a longtime inker. I remember him being on, I want to say Incredible Hulk. Was it the Dale Keown issues? I really don't remember.
Yeah.
But that seems to ring a bell. And then Scott Hanna. Now, Scott, Scott's a member of our Captain America Combo Fans Facebook group. In fact, I reached out to him and I asked him, I said, you know, which pages did you ink in here? And he said, only 5 pages. So he inked pages 1 and 2 and then 13 through 15. So Cam Smith inked the rest. And then for colorist, we have Matt Miller, longtime colorist. Letterer, we have Joe Caramanga. And then editor, we have Alana Smith. So I'm going to read the recap here. Over the decades, many have taken up the mantle of Captain America, drawing inspiration from Steve Rogers, the original Sentinel Liberty. Whoever wields the shield carries on the fight for freedom for all. The United States of Captain America. Days before he was due to lend his shield to a museum exhibit, Captain America was ambushed and robbed by a super fast assailant wearing his costume. He enlisted fellow Captain America Sam Wilson to reclaim the stolen shield, and their pursuit led them to the Captain's Network, a loose collective of people protecting their communities under the mantle of Captain America. It quickly became clear that the members of the network were being targeted by the shield thief, Speed Demon, and his handler, Cynthia Superior Schmidt. The chase led them across the U.S. to Kansas, where with the aid of Joe Gomez, the Captain America of the Kickapoo, they foiled another assassination attempt. Joe was injured in the fight, but backup has arrived in the form of another former Captain America, Bucky Barnes. All right, so Bob, I gotta give you a little something here to you.
All right.
I'm not looking forward to this issue.
I suspect that this might be a challenge for you, but I know you're up for it. So.
Bob, there are 4 Captain Americas in here, 2 members of the Captain's Network, and several villains.
Uh-huh.
And I somehow have to do different voices for each of them.
Yes. I know if anyone can do it, it's Mark Hamill.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
He's not here.
It's Mel Blanc. We've got to get Mel Blanc in here.
He's not here. So who's that
Mel
guy?
Is.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Just because, Rick, I mean, I know. I'm sorry. I'm not the Looney Tunes guy. You know, you thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an underdog guy. But I know who Mel Blanc is. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Talk about a talented man. Oh, my God.
He was. And I'm thinking, you know, remember Rich Little?
Oh yeah, Rich Little. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, so good times. But you know, if those, Mel Blanc's not here, Rich Little's not here, and Mark Hamill's unavailable, so it's on you. But I think we have confidence in you.
Okay. All right. Listen, if I don't do a good job, you guys can you can dock my pay.
Well, there you go. There you go, folks. Put your complaints in the complaint box.
Oh, that's right. I don't get paid. All right. So this first page is we got Steve, Sam, and Bucky standing at a annual Kickapoo powwow. And Steve says, America belonged to them before it belonged to any of us. The truth is, my ancestors were colonizers. Irish and English, if you go back far enough. Sometimes I wonder what gives me the right to bear the name of the land instead of someone else, someone like Joe. Bucky says, one, Joe is Captain America. And two, the fact you even think about these things makes you who you are, Steve. And then here's Sam. Well, I love the tons too, but if you're looking for validation, you're probably asking the wrong guy. You might also be a descendant from slave owners. No, staunch abolitionist, at least that I can tell you. But still, this flag, carrying it, wearing it, it's heavy. I'm honestly thankful for anyone who stepped in to help bear its weight. You two, Aaron, Michelle, Joe. Let's head out. We're stealing focus from what the Kickapoo are trying to do here. So, Bob, I know I mentioned this last time, but here's another time where Steve says, this flag, carrying it, wearing it, it's heavy.
Yeah.
He keeps talking about, you know, it's more than he, not that he can't handle it, but right. It's almost like, is he getting tired of it? Is it too much for too long?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think, there's all kinds of different Captain America stories, right? And we've been down this road before, but I really enjoy those narratives, those stories where Cap sort of wrestles with the burden of the mantle that he carries. And it is a mantle, make no mistake about it, right? I mean, he's carrying a mantle, this sort of solemn duty that to stand up for American values, for what we profess, even when we don't necessarily live up to them fully. And I mean, that has to be a burden to be out front, right? To carry that burden. There's a reason, that, soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen, they only serve for, 25, 30 years, right? Because it becomes a weight after so long, and he's been carrying it for over 100 years, for crying out loud, right? I don't know, how long has it been? 80 years, right? So I mean, you got to think, what does that do to a person's psyche, right? I mean, the super soldier serum allows him to heal fast, right? To bounce back from it, physical injury. But there's this whole question of moral injury, this whole question of the moral burden of such responsibilities that I don't think we talk about enough.
Well, I do think this series is addressing it a little bit. Not as deep as you're going, but I do think it addresses it a little bit. All right, so here it is 3 days later in Colorado, and they're at some cabin in the woods, and you got the three Captain Americas there, right? You picking up anything, Sam? And Sam is on his laptop, and he's got a headphone on, and he's listening in on something. I'm listening to everything, but continued radio silence on our false patriots' whereabouts. I'm getting a lot of voicemails and dead numbers for these captains. At least we got Aaron and Ariel around inbound. Sam, you could make a bank on this place if you listed it as an Airbnb. Also, Steve, you know, you could just store the numbers Joe gave you in your phone all at once and then not have to dial every time. Bucky, please, not you too. Hello. Hi. Good to see you again, Aaron. And Ariel, nice to meet you. Same, but fair warning, I got carsick driving up here in those switchbacks. And just to cut to the chase, I'd like to try that amazing outdoor shower out there. And then I'd like to live here for a few months. Oh, the homeless guy.
That's right. Yeah.
Mi casa es su casa, friend. Man, this is shaping up into a nice little team. Agreed. But there's one more I want. He's meeting me at the bar down at the highway turnoff. No, Cap. I'm even going to go as far as to say, please no. And Steve heads out the door. And Sam says, yeah, I'm not looking forward to that reunion either. How was the drive, other than the car sickness? Good. I swung down from Boston through New York and picked up Aaron. We just both sang along with Hamilton the whole way. Yeah, it was about 6 full performances. I'm real glad to meet you. But I also want to say again that this is going to get pretty dangerous. Look at you, of all people, trying to make them into the tiny sidekicks. Wow. No, I'm not. We get it. Trust us. And it's amazing to meet you, too. And then Steve pops his head back in the door. Bucky, you coming or what? Why do I have to go? Go on, little one. Papa's waiting. Besides, he's going to need help reeling in the other dude. Fine. So the next page, we cut over to an indoor bunker of NORAD. What's NORAD, Bob?
Oh my gosh, North American Air Defense Command, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a while.
I'm going to need some proper clearance. Certainly. Kaboom! And then coming through the smoke. What'd he say? I don't know. I barely even heard the blast through the earplugs. All right. So now we see coming out of the smoke. It's Speed Demon in the Captain America uniform. One side.
Mm-hmm.
We have Superior Sin on the other side in her outfit. And then leading the way in front of them, holding Captain America's shield in one hand and a whip in the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's Warrior Woman.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
When was the last time we saw Warrior Woman, Bob?
Oh, but, well, you know, she was in the Brubaker run, I think. But, you know, her first appearance was way back in Vader's number 17 back in 1977. So, 77, 78. So,
Roy Thomas character.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So she's a big, big, burly woman. So, I guess when they made her, it was almost like a Nazi version of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Kind of like a big Amazon.
Yeah.
Type woman.
Schnitzel fed. Yeah.
Yeah. Bob's looking at me with a big smirk on his face. He knows I'm trying to struggle with a voice for her. Cause I already have Cynthia Schmidt, right? Cynthia Schmidt is I don't know. I barely even heard the blast through the earplugs, right? So she's got more of that German little, right? But War Woman is she's got to be a huskier voice.
She's a husky lady, yeah.
And she's got to have a German accent.
Yeah, an angry German accent.
And I did not practice this at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go, folks.
Superior. Speed Demon. Span out. You know what you're looking for. Yes, Commander Krieger. Jawohl, Kriegerfrau. And if anyone gets in your way, just remember to have fun.
Nice. Nice.
Is it? She sounds a little manly, though. Doesn't it?
She is manly. Let's face it.
She's a very handsome woman.
She's a, in the traditional sense. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we cut back to the cabin in the woods.
No, hold on. We got it. Because this is a bugaboo. This is a bugaboo with me. You know this. I had an ill-fated spoiler.
Wait, what?
In the comic group, this whole Commander Krieger. Where did that come from? Her name's Julia Koenig, right? And of course, for a while, her last name was Lohmer because she was married to Master Man, Willie Lohmer, right? But she quickly dropped that name as fast as she could and back to the Koenig. So
what's her first name?
Julia.
Julia?
Yeah.
So if she was married to Master Man, would then she become Julia Man?
I think they skipped right over the man and just went to his Christian name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Lohmer. So I was confused when I read this, Rick, about this whole Commander Krieger. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, well, Krieger means war, right?
Does it?
Yeah. So when
we already established in the last episode, Bob, I'm Austrian, not German.
Oh, good point. Good point. And so when she's referred to as Krieger Frau, right? I mean, that's often translated in the Marvel comics as warrior woman.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Sometimes in actual German, it's like more like warrior wife, like maybe the wife of Master Man. But I don't know where they got Commander Krieger from. So I was confused by that whole thing when I got to this page.
And what did you find out, Bob?
I didn't find out anything. I think, well, what the hell? I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know why she went with Commander Krieger.
Do you ever watch that show, cartoon on FX? Oh, God, what is it?
Family Guy?
No. it's Archer.
No, I haven't watched Archer,
Okay. It's a great, I haven't watched it in a long, 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 long time.
Yeah.
I'm really behind on it. But it's Archer. It's kind of a spoof on kind of a James Bond-esque type of espionage. And I think the scientist's name on there is Krieger. I could be wrong.
Huh. Yeah, Krieger. I mean, it's I would have thought Commander Koenig, but they went with Krieger.
Commander Conehead?
Koenig, her last name. So I was confused. I was like, did Cantwell... you know, we talked about in the sort of the retcon differences in origin, you know, we talked about how Kirby and Lee forgot what Reinstein's name was and just simply renamed him something else in the Tales of Suspense and subsequent retellings until they got a way to sort of, you know, square that circle. But then I thought, well, maybe Cantwell messed this up. So I was confused. I don't know how they're going to, if at all, they're going to fix this.
Do they fix it in this issue, Bob?
No, they don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're in the cabin in the woods and the two young captains are playing video games because, you know, it's what kids do. And they're sitting on the couch. And again, Sam's still on his laptop listening in on stuff through his headphones. And you've got on the video game, they show it's Captain America versus Iron Man. And Captain America's his energy bar is kicking some butt here. God, Iron Man sucks in this game. Yeah, you're going down, rich boy. Why'd you even pick Iron Man? You could have been Speedball and had a better chance. Because at least I don't mind watching Iron Man lose to Cap. Anybody in the immediate area, I repeat, NORAD is under attack. Our main comm network has been cut. Repeat, NORAD is under attack by unknown assailants. Please, anyone, hear this. And then we cut to NORAD, and there's Speed Demon going through hitting people and superiors hitting people, and Warrior Woman Commander Krieger is just standing there with the shield. And Sam says to the two kids, "We're leaving now. Let's go, captains, on the double." So the next page we cut to, and we're at the bar, and we see a bartender yelling, and he says, "That's your last Boilermaker, dipstick. I don't care how much you threaten me." And here it is, John Walker in his U.S. agent outfit. with the shield strapped to his back, his left hand with the half beer mug in it, and his head. His head's down on the bar.
Resting ever so gently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's five shot glasses that are empty and a bunch of dead soldiers, which is a term for empty beer bottles.
Nice.
And he says, "You don't talk to me like I'm some kind of cur. You cur." And then he stands up. "Fill your hands, you son of a." And just then, Steve walks into the bar and he's wearing his commander uniform. In the middle of something, John. And Walker turns and he has a smile on his face. "Steve, what took you so long? Oh, hey, the kid's here too." And Bucky's, who's in his Winter Soldier garb, says, "Kid?" He likes to antagonize. "So what's the story, Morning Glory? Is this some kind of arrest? Because I was just going to tell you in person. I'm not down for that, okay?" "I'm here to help, Walker." "I don't need help." "No, I do. I could use another Captain America, even if you're going by U.S. agent now." "Really? Hey, where's your shield?" "Stolen as part of a neo-fascist plot to murder a vast network of grassroots heroes and destroy the mantle of Captain America." "Destroy the mantle? Heaven forbid." "Now, John, I know we have we have a lot. But I also know you love this country more than most, perhaps as much as I do, and you'd give your life to protect it." Just then, Sam, who's in his Captain America garb, busts in through the door. "We got to move. Our shield thief and his friends just invaded NORAD." So we cut to the next page, and everybody's on the road. So Sam's on his bike, Steve's on his bike, Bucky is on his bike, and behind him holding on is U.S. agent. And then in the car behind them is the two kids, right? Aaron and Ariel. And interesting enough, it looks like Aaron is driving. But I thought it was her car. And does he even have a license?
I don't know.
Huh? So John says, "I'm just going to bring up again that I have my own bike. Y'all saw it outside the bar, a sweet chopper with." And Steve says, "No, you're not driving drunk." And Ariel in the car says, "We could have taken it and abandoned my 400,000 mile crap box. Neither of you have a Class M license." "Well, that doesn't mean we're not willing to learn. You were saying your shield gave you access?" "Yes. Certain facilities, top secret clearance to projects I'm involved in." "And one of those is at NORAD?" "It is. Yes. That must be what they're looking for." "Are you going to make us ask what it is?" "Hate monger." "Oh boy. Great." And then John says, "Maybe you guys can just drop me off somewhere." "What's a hate monger?" "It's living psychoactive energy derived from Adolf Hitler's consciousness." "Whoa." "Cap, are you living the end of Godwin's law?" "What's Godwin's law?" "It's the idea that the longer a conversation goes on, it'll inevitably involve Nazis." "I don't think that's fair. I've come up against plenty of folks in my time, and a lot of them weren't Nazis." "Batroc isn't a Nazi." "Batroc's worked for Zemo, who used to run Hydra, which was also once run by the Red Skull, who was mentored by..." "All right, I get it. So what? Fascists really don't like me." "Good. You're welcome." "They don't like any of us, and we're all proud of it. And I think we'll end up wiping the floor with a few more today." "Hell yeah." "Good. Then let's get to it." All right. So we cut back to NORAD, and three villains And by the way, we didn't, I guess, put two and two together, but remember in issue three, when they were fighting and there was a mysterious figure that came up and knocked them out?
Yeah.
It must have been Warrior Woman.
It must have been, yes. Commander Krieger.
Never. We are clear. This floor has been neutralized. Dunka Superior. Rise, my neighbor. And they're coming up to this box, this huge box. It's, I don't know, probably 12 feet tall, 12 feet wide, right? Just cube. And there's this glowing dark energy that's just moving around, tentacles and shape misshapen. And then it forms itself into a humanoid figure and says, "Who disturbs my furious lamentations? It is I, Lord Hidmonger. Juriel, why? To what purpose? The purpose of your freedom. This divided American wasteland is ripe for a new leader. You. The Red Skull already failed in this scheme. The Skull used overt hate fringe iconography. We will use America against itself. You will be our new head of state. Superior and I will act as governors of its newly fractured regions. She is the West, and I am the East." America against itself? "I can easily turn these citizens against their very symbols of liberty. Their stars, their stripes, this shield, the man who bears it. I have already made great strides because this nation is sick to its core. This America will provide you a feast of hate. You'll be nine invincible." Wait, do I get to govern anything? That was Speed Demon. And just then, we have the guy that was calling in, asking for a rescue. He's a soldier. He's in his camos and he's got a rifle, and he's pointing it at them. "Don't move. Each of you stay away from the containment area and lie face down on the ground. Hands over your heads. Now." The Speed Demon's a little too fast for him. And he comes right up to him and grabs him and pushes him up against the wall. But just from coming from behind, we've got, it appears to be a sober U.S. agent. "Hey, tough guy. Good morning." And he just nails him with a left cross. And then Sam comes in and throws his shield and knocks down Superior. And Bucky comes up and he, with his metallic arm, nails Commander Krieger. And walking in very casually is Steve with the two kids behind him. "Warrior Woman, haven't heard squat from you since that Axis Monday nonsense fell apart. When was that, Bob?"
I think that was in New Invaders number 6, Rick.
Mm. Okay. Aaron says, "Aha, another Nazi then. I refuse that infantilizing moniker." And she just takes Winter Soldier and tosses him at Steve.
So there you go, Rick. She doesn't like Warrior Woman.
Mm.
She rejects that infantilizing moniker.
Mm.
And she has a very good vocabulary.
And apparently Cynthia wants to defend her, because mm-hmm. she comes up, she kicks Sam. "Her name is Commander Krieger, you fools." And what's his name, Bob? Give me a name for this guy.
I don't know his name yet.
Okay.
Right? We'll find out, I think, later.
The Army dude.
Yeah, Army dude.
Yeah, the Army dude. By the way, does he have a blood dripping down his face, or is that like a some sort of birthmark?
I think that's just a shadow or something. I think he's got a square jaw.
No.
You're right.
Panel he's in.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah, I see what you're saying now. Yeah. Yeah. On the left side of his face, he's got blood dripping down from his forehead.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was blood or if it was a birthmark. Hey, we don't have too many characters with birthmarks.
We don't actually think about it. Yeah.
All right. Well, when I say too many, I mean none.
And yeah.
At least none to come to my mind. I'm sure there's some listener out there going, well, don't forget Star Brand or something.
You know? Yeah, right.
So then standing over top of Steve, who's down on his knee, is Commander Krieger. And she says, my super soldier sibling, danke for making it easier to grind you all up at once. Saves me some shoe leather. Now, I think that's that comment about shoe leather is coming back to, hasn't there been more than one time where Warrior Woman was standing over top of Captain America with her boot on his face, like pressing him into the ground?
Yeah, it seems that sort of image has come up kind of again and again where, so that dominatrix sort of image.
Yeah. I know Alex Ross did that for one of the covers. Yeah. And just then the two kids come up and double team her and on both sides and hit into her with their shields. And Ariel says, think we knocked the wind out of her, which is pretty impressive because judging from her size, I'm getting there's a lot of wind in there. And just then, Speed Demon, now who's been going around as Captain America, he starts to question, where am I? And John Walker, who's been pummeling him, says, hypnotized, huh? Who are you? I just rung your bell loose. So that kind of goes back to the end of, was it issue two? No, or issue one, where we had Sin and Speed Demon in a truck, and he starts back talking her.
Right.
And she recites something about baseball.
Right, yeah.
Right? And he snaps too.
Yeah.
So he's been hypnotized. That was the end of, was that the last panel of issue two?
I think it might've been, Rick. Yeah. It's very reminiscent of the whole sort of Winter Soldier, you know, word list, right?
Yeah. But isn't Speed Demon, he's a bad guy, right? I mean, Speed Demon, that character itself is a villain, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's sort of like one of those, he's not an honorable villain, but he's sort of a low caliber thief. I think. Yeah. He's not a villain per se. He's just a bad guy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're going to have that conversation again.
I don't think we are. Okay.
And if we were a comic book, editor's note would say at the bottom, see episode 9 for top 10 villains not named Red Skull.
There you go.
Yeah. So then the army guy takes his machine gun and he cocks it. Although I don't think that's an AK-47. I don't think you can cock that.
It's an M16, but
is it? Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Cause that's American. I mean, AK-47 would be a Russian, right?
That's right. And I would assume that he would have already pulled back the charging handle on this weapon since he showed up earlier and told them all to let it down. So, but you know,
Hey, it's Hollywood, right?
It's
Hollywood. You got to have the, you know,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So he says, can't let it escape. But just then, apparently Superior with her shield aiming, throwing, because she went and hit not just Aaron, then ricocheting and hitting Ariel, and then ricocheting and hitting the the army dude, and then ricocheting and hitting John Walker. She hit all four. How does she do that? How is she that good?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But
practice,
I guess. But Steve comes up behind her, grabs her, slams her to the ground. And he says, I need you to stop. Thank you. I appreciate your cooperation. So Speed Demon is like, he realizes what's going on. He's like, you. John says to him, yeah, Speed Demon, you've been their zippy little puppet for a hot minute. Why am I dressed like this? Oh, you don't remember that part? She wants to conquer the US of A. Krieger. And he runs up and just runs into the back of her full speed. And she doesn't even move. And she just kind of turns around, looks at him. She gets out her whip, whips around his neck. And then she says, heel, dog. She's a badass.
She is. She's a tough lady.
So Speed Demon, who is a villain by nature, or a bad guy, as you would put him. But you know what he doesn't like? Nazis.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
I think even American crooks aren't going to let Nazis take over America.
Right. Well, hey, you remember that one-shot crossover with the Red Skull and the Joker, right? When Joker found out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't having any part of that either.
Yeah. That's a good callback by you. And so behind the glass, the hate monger / Adolf Hitler. Nice to see you, Captain. Nice to see you behind the glass, looking like someone just emptied a vacuum cleaner bag into a breeze, hate monger. Does that sound like something Steve would say?
It is a bit convoluted, I think. Yeah.
Looking like someone who just emptied a vacuum cleaner bag into a breeze.
Yeah. Which is basically what it looks like.
Yeah. It's a great description. By him.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a bit.
Yeah.
It's not Steve.
Yeah. So then Sam comes up and gives a left cross to Commander Krieger. And then Bucky comes up with his metallic arm and gives her a left cross, and she's just standing there, her head turns one way, her head turns the other way, and then she picks up the shield, and there's something about the shield, and her eyes start to glow. See its face, shield revealed, cower and flee, every man, woman, child, and all the captains, their eyes start to glow as they're being mesmerized by this shield. What's up with that, Bob?
I know that's not something that she's been able to do before. This seems to be some sort of new power.
Yeah. I mean, heck, if she's got the power to do that, what does she need Hatemonger for?
I mean, clearly she's hypnotized Speed Demon, right?
Yeah.
So.
But Steve's not having it. So he comes up. And he just gives her a leg swipe?
Yeah, he sweeps out her leg. Sweep the leg!
<That's right>. He sweeps the leg. And so she goes down. And at the same time, John says to the army guy, shake it off, pal. How many Captain Americas are there? Short answer, a bleep load. We all know.
John doesn't say bleep. Yeah, he says it.
But as she's on the ground, Commander Krieger sweeps Captain America with their shield, with his shield. And then she gets up and she goes to the hate monger's cell and allows the little device that reads things. You know, like a scanner, and usually, you know, we think maybe scan an eye or something like that. No,
sort of biometrics.
It scans the middle of his shield, and it says, Access granted. And Steve and John at the same time yell, no! And coming out is this energy. And Steve runs up and with his shield. Somehow he got the shield back from Krieger. I don't know how that happened, but
I don't know anyway. I don't think that's his shield, because it looks like there's a crack in it.
Then whose shield is it?
I don't know. Was someone else carrying a shield? No, because well,
what's his name?
Sam's is different.
Aaron was carrying one, but it's like a trash can lid almost, you know?
Yeah, right.
Nothing like this. And then, so Steve says, hold it right there. But the hate monger changes form into a young Peggy Carter.
Oh.
No, it isn't you. You're not Peggy Carter. Look at you, Steve. A grown man, an elderly man, still dressing up like a child. You embarrass me. You embarrass this country. And then just then she just smacks him. And John comes up to try to punch Krieger, but she catches his fist in her hand and crunches it. And he yells. And then she tosses him with one arm onto the army guy. Fare thee well, reprobates. And they run off. Her and the hate monger. And speaking of, she speaks very well. What's a reprobate?
It's a weird term to use, Rick. It means an unprincipled person.
Well, maybe in her mind they are.
Yeah, maybe. It seems an odd choice of words, but.
Hmm. So Steve says, "Come on, we got to go after them." John says, no, we don't. We've got two of theirs. We don't need to chase them to find out where they're going. And Sam grabs Superior. Come on, move. And Bucky says, but the two still out there are Hate Monger and Warrior. Commander Krieger. Commander what? Jerks? Hate Monger is a dangerous asset. Doesn't seem like an asset to me. Bad word choice. I'm Captain Jeremy Merrick. My assignment was the containment and study of this thing. It was ready to kill me. So Steve then says, well, then you can help us recapture it. And John has a point. They're on the defense as long as we get intel out of these two. I will tell you nothing. We'll see about that. And then Speed Demon says, I'll tell you whatever I can, but I don't know how this happened to me or how long it's been, because you're weak. I, on the other hand, my father invented some of the most hideous torture techniques that exist. I've mastered every one of them. What on earth do you Cub Scouts plan on doing to make me talk, besides asking politely? And just then, John Walker comes up. He's got a big old smile on his face, and he's got his hand out to shake her hand, and he says, fellas, I got this. Hi, Cynthia. John Walker. I was expelled from the Cub Scouts. Why don't we have a chat? To be concluded.
Oh, my. That's right. There's only one issue left in this five-issue miniseries, Rick.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wrapping up to do.
What are your thoughts on this issue, Bob?
You know, it was a twist that I didn't see coming. I didn't see Commander Krieger, and I certainly didn't see the hate monger involved in this tale. And I'm happy to see him, because I'm one of those readers, Rick, that I like the hate monger stories. I think they're fascinating. I mean, they go all the way back to Fantastic Four. And I think it's a fascinating concept, this sort of psycho, whatever it is, residue of Adolf Hitler. Mm-hmm. Thanks, of course, to our good friend Arnim Zola, who made this all possible. But I didn't see this coming. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this concludes. And I think this storyline gets us a little bit closer to that big conclusion.
Yeah, it's a good point. I don't know how we're going to wrap this up in one issue. Right?
Right.
I mean, we've got, now we've got Commander Krieger, and we've got the Hate Monger. I mean, that's, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
That's a lot to do. I wonder if this is going to spill over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of trepidation, I think is the right word, you know, in the Facebook group about what's going to happen next. And we know there's going to be a team up, at least a mini series, right? Iron Man, Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
We know that's going to happen. And there's nothing on the wires yet about volume 10 of Captain America coming out. And so maybe that team up series is going to help wrap this up in some way.
I wonder. So we've talked about, at least after the first issue, that we all thought, oh, you know, Cantwell is doing a really good job. We'd like to see him maybe take a crack at the ongoing series when they announced that.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe that'll happen. Maybe he will be the writer on that. Maybe he knows that and he's setting it up for the next series.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you start off with a Warrior Woman, Cynthia Schmidt, and Hate Monger, you know, that's a blast from the past. And right. I think one of the things that, if I'm editorial, I know that there's been a lot of, let's just say, Cap fans from our age and older who have maybe been disenfranchised. Like, there's not a lot, but there's certainly been enough people in the Facebook group where I read and they're like, yeah, I haven't read a new Captain America comic book since, you know,
1907.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. So, well, how do you bring them back? Well, you bring back some classic villains that haven't been around since, you know, a long time, and might pique their interest. And the other thing too, I mean, listen, volume 9, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Coates series. It was timely. It was a story that had to be told after the whole Steve Rogers as a fascist, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does he come back from that, right? So they did a little bit of that, plus they did a little bit of contemporary kind of story.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I don't know, I see the next one going to be a little bit more classic and less contemporary.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do, right? Like, remember when they filed Ed Brubaker's volume 5 and volume 6 and they did volume 7?
Yeah.
Volume 7 was a complete 180 degree turn because you had Rick Remender doing this story about Arnim Zola and being in that Zola
universe. Z. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Dimension Z. Thank you. And, you know, how else do you follow Ed Brubaker? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah,
you can't do more like that. Like, you got to do something different. So I don't know.
That makes perfect sense to me. Actually.
At least that's my initial thought.
No, I think that's
the first thing that comes to me.
Good. I think it's, it might be time, I think, to have some clear cut good guys and bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is more clear cut than going back to the original source material, which is Nazis, right? Krieger, even Schmidt, you know, they're all sort of cut from the sort of neo-fascist cloth. And so, yeah, I think you're right. I think there's something to be said for making a very clear cut, good versus evil.
You know what? This story inspired me. I think in the near future, not right away, because we've done our share of 70s stories recently. But I want to go back to 1979. And
don't we all?
And I want to do, I think it was like a 3-part story with the hate monger slash the 50s cap.
Yeah.
Right. The grand director story.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good story.
Right. Because Roger McKenzie wrote it. It was Sal Buscema, I think Don Perlin. Right. And it was issues 231, which is that famous cover of a cross burning. And then there's the grand director there putting his hand up and almost like a Nazi salute.
Right.
Right. And then the fallout from that. I think there's a couple issues after that story kind of continues. What do you think? Do you think we should explore that?
No, that's a great story. I love a good hate monger story. And there's been quite a few, and we did one, right? We did the Cube Cult story from, what was that? Was that volume 3?
No.
Was that volume 1?
I can't remember. One. It was the end. It was the end story arc. That was when the beginning of Mark Waid and Ron Garman.
Right. That's right. That's right. With Cap and Sharon and Sharon's return and Cap and the Red Skull going against the Cube Cult and the Hate Monger. So there's a lot of great Hate Monger stories. I think that would be a great one to tackle.
And if for those who want to go and check that out, that was episode 15, where we covered Captain America 445 through 448, Operation Rebirth. Was that a good plug, Bob?
That was a good. I was just sitting here admiring how you went to like a radio broadcaster voice.
All right. So, all right, we got one more episode, or is there one more issue to go? I got to tell you, ever since I've been doing this podcast, I've been mixing up my words episode and issue nonstop. I refer to issues as episodes and episodes as issues.
Right. I tell you, when I go into class now, I teach Monday mornings, I teach Thursday afternoons. I go in and I say, welcome to issue 5. I mean, week 5 of the course. Right. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Issue 5. So far, what do you like and what do you don't like about this series?
Well, I think it's right off the bat. I love the idea that, we know Cap has a mantle, right? And he's struggling with the burden of the mantle. He's been carrying it an awfully long time, right? And it's not an easy mantle to carry, even for somebody with the super soldier serum running through his veins. So that's sort of one aspect of this that I like. I like the psychological part of this, right? The moral injury part. The other part is this, that the mantle can be shared. About a week ago, Rick, I was on Facebook, as I sometimes am. Mm-hmm. And I saw somebody post this meme, right? And it was about empathy. And it's about empathy without boundaries is self-destruction. And I've been I've been wrestling with that for like a week, right? Because the part of me wants to reject that and say, no, empathy is important. We got to always have empathy. But there's some truth in that empathy shouldered alone, when you carry the burden of empathy by yourself, it can be a recipe for self-destruction because it becomes overwhelming. And I think in some sense, this also speaks to the mantle of Captain America. And so we see the burden, but we also see that burden, that mantle can be shared by others, even, in their own communities, in their own ways. And I think that is a powerful, powerful message. And so I like this story. I love this series because I think it sort of marries those two challenges in a very constructive way.
Those are excellent points. I love that you brought that up, that meme about empathy without boundaries, because that's something that I really, one of the things that draws me to Steve Rogers is his empathy. And that's why on the challenge coin, when we talk about on both sides of the challenge coin, we have different characteristics of Steve Rogers. And I think there's 4 on each side. So we have 8 characteristics of Steve Rogers, and one side has the shield. One side says, what would Cap do? Right. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things like to think of, hey, before I do this, before I say this, would Steve do this? Would Steve say this? And one of the characteristics on there is empathy. And that was one of the ones, it was one of the first ones that I, you know, when we, you and I talked, like, which characteristics should we put on there? Empathy was by far one of the ones that I wanted on there. And so I can totally see empathy without boundaries can be destructive 100%. And it's I'll be honest, it's a personal issue I deal with, that I tend to be a little too empathetic, meaning that I do put myself in other people's shoes probably a little too much, in the fact that it can be sometimes a little overwhelming sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And as someone who is a communication major, who is a marketing professional, I studied communication, and yet I refuse to really watch the news. I don't watch reality shows. I don't watch dramas, because they are too realistic to me. And because of my empathetic nature, it bothers me.
Right.
Like I think that's one of the things I gravitated to comic books so much, because at least it was a fantasy world. So if this violence was happening, I could always just say, well, it's make-believe. It's fantasy. And that's why I embraced fantasy type shows, TV shows, movies, again, because I could separate from it. If I can't watch a crime drama because I know it's based in reality, you know, and I know that there's people out there who are victims of these particular types of behaviors, and it bothers me. It really does. And so I suffer sometimes from too much empathy. So that meme that you just described really hits home with me.
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing that. But I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent. But the thing about this series that I agree with you, that I really like, is that we're seeing how Cap inspires others.
Right.
Right. That Cap has, due to his nature, due to his activities, due to his words, he inspired others to pick up the mantle and to do things in their own communities on their own levels.
Right.
So I do really love that. Here's one thing I don't like. I think some of it is outside Steve's characteristics. I find it a little hard to believe that Steve is going to call in Aaron and Ariel, who he's never met.
Yeah.
And ask them to come along onto a battle. And he knows darn well what's at NORAD waiting. He knows the hate monger is there.
Right. Yeah.
He knows the evil that is there. He knows that Cynthia and Speed Demon are adversaries that are really, really tough. For him to just bring in these inexperienced,
non-powered.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. He hasn't done any training with them. He doesn't know what kind of team they could be and how they could support each other on the battlefield. I almost find it outside of Steve's characteristic to do something like that. No, am I being too harsh?
No, I think that's a really good point. That made me a little uncomfortable as well. I mean, like, how did, you know, he'd met Aaron, right? But he hadn't even met Ariel. You know, in the backup story in this issue, which, you know, we're not going to talk about, but it talks a little bit about the sorts of things that she does. She is sort of the Captain America of the campus, right? And so it's an interesting story. It's a fun little story. It's a powerful story, but it's certainly, her sort of activities don't rise to the level of combat they would expect to face, that Cap would expect to face.
Yeah.
Going in against Cynthia, against Superior, Speed Demon, and this unknown assailant who turns out to be Commander Krieger. So, and mm-hmm. with the hate monger in the mix as well. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right that seems a little, no, a lot out of character.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, we get Captain America, who is telling John Walker that he can't drive because he's drunk, right? I mean, he's Mr. You know, strict there, right? But, you know, but here, let me go ahead and bring this, these inexperienced characters in. Oh, right. By the way, I am looking up Archer right now and the characters. There is a Dr. Krieger.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was a, there's a DC character. I think it's like Captain Nazi or something, right? And his name was Albrecht Krieger. So I went, I was like, oh, did Julia go marry Captain Nazi from DC or something and take his last name? So, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Well, it's going to be fun seeing how this wraps up next issue. And we'll be sure to cover it here in the Captain America Comic Book Fans podcast. So now is a perfect time to talk about our next episode. Next episode, we're going to go to the year 1993, Bob.
That is a long time ago for me.
It is.
It's sort of hazy period as well.
Yeah. So, you know, we haven't explored, we've explored some Mark Gruenwald story arcs, right?
Yeah.
But they've been in the 80s. We really haven't touched on any of his stories in the 90s. So I thought it would be fun to go after this particular story. It's three issues. We're going to cover issues 411 through 413. So they came out in 1993. Uh-huh. And it's a story of Captain America, Falcon, Diamondback.
Uh-huh.
Going undercover to AIM Island, where there is a fight club with all the villains.
Yeah.
Right. So they're going disguised as villains. And just so happens, Cap's going to be disguised as as Crossbones. Falcon is going to be disguised as Jack-o'-Lantern. And guess who Diamondback is going to be disguised as?
General Woe?
No. That'd be a hell of a sumo suit that she had to wear. No, she's going to go as Cynthia Schmidt in her Mother Superior form.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I think it'll be a nice treat for everyone. But General Woe, all from Tales of Suspense 71, is involved as well.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of villains. I mean, we're talking Batroc Lipe will be there along with his Batroc's brigade.
Yeah.
We're going to have Rhino and all kinds of characters.
I have to say, I'm a little uncomfortable about this three issue arc, Rick. I don't know. When you pitched it, I was like, I'm not so sure, because everyone knows the first rule of AIM Island Fight Club.
Yeah, what is it, Bob?
You don't talk about AIM Island Fight Club.
Ah.
So, but all right. Well, it's 93, so.
Yeah, I think it's almost 30 years later, Bob. I think it's okay.
We're safe. All right.
Yeah. So that'll be next episode. So be sure to come back for that. All right. Well, I think that about covers it. Oh, by the way, after that episode 55, where we're covering those three issues, episode 56, we have another guest on the show.
I love guests. Who's the guest, Rick?
It's going to be a Captain America. Somebody who worked on one of the books, worked on Captain America. I don't want to give away. You know what, as I want to be fair, as our patrons, right? If you are Shield Slinger level or more, you get to find out who our guests are going to be ahead of time. And you get the opportunity to ask a question. So I'll be shooting an email out to to our Shield Slinger and higher, which would be, what's the higher? Super Soldier. Yeah. I'll be sending an email to them so they can ask questions. And then next episode, we'll announce publicly who the guest is going to be.
It's very exciting. Very exciting.
Yep. All right, Bob. Well, as always, it's been fun wrapping cap with you.
Indeed. Let's do this again real soon.
All right. He's Bob Lucius. I'm Rick Verbanis, and you've been listening to the Captain America Complex. Thank you.